Once again, happy Easter to you. It's good to have all the visitors with us. I had a card that I didn't get to Brother Steve. I'm going to read it real quick. It's from Pastor Jason Penley and the folks at Solid Rock Baptist Church. Just like to thank the church at Calvary for bringing their choir down on that Friday night as part of their soul winning revival. And he said, you'll never know just what it meant to their church and how big of a blessing that you folks were that come down on that Friday night, take time out of your day to be with them. So, church, anytime we can be an outreach and do something for others, we ought to take advantage of that. So, I thank you for going. It's good to be here. Good to see our visitors with us. You just pray for my voice that we'll hold out during this message. We'll do what God wants to do, and it'll be fine, and we'll be out of here. I'll try to get you out before the Presbyterians and the Methodists all get to the restaurants. Probably a lot of restaurants are closed today for Easter, so you may end up fixing yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but that's all right too. If you've got a copy of God's Word, go with me to the book of John, and we'll be in chapter number 1. You say that's a strange place to take a story of resurrection. It's all in here. I don't care if you're in Genesis or in your Revelation. It's all about Jesus. And we'll be there in the book of John, chapter number 1. And I just want to use three words today. And those three words are going to be, they'll be spoken throughout this whole message. And John speaks them here when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this. You know that Christ lived as innocent as any man ever lived. There was no guilt. There was no guile. There was no fault. Pilate said it over and over. I find no fault in him. There was no guile to be found in him. And whenever we read these three words here, the three words, and we'll stand and just remember to give reverence to the reading of God's Word, but the three words are, behold the Lamb. And I want you to think about what that really means, behold the Lamb. Whenever you think about a lamb in biblical sense, you think about this cute and cuddly little creature that is basically as helpless as it can be. And it is. A lamb has no real defense mechanism. Even a skunk has a scent bag. Porcupines have quills. Deer and other horned animals have their antlers or their horns, maybe for defense mechanisms. But a little lamb really has no great defense mechanism. They'll get out there and basically they become servants and subservient unto the shepherd. They're relying upon the one that's going to take care of him. And it was told under the Levitical law that whenever those little lambs that would be used for the sacrifices, that would be used for the burnt offering, those lambs would be cuddled. They didn't go out there and find the one that could run the slowest, and that's the one they caught. No, this lamb was a prepared lamb for a sacrifice. And that lamb, my friends, it was a loved lamb. They would take that thing in, Brother Chris, and from the time of the birth, that would be a Levitical priest, or that would be a priest there, Brother Kenny. They would be one of the shepherd priests, and they would be there. When that lamb was born, believe it or not, they would take that little lamb, even before the mother ewe lamb could maybe even clean it up herself. There was a shepherd priest there that would take that little lamb, and they would wipe that thing clean. And brother, they would even catch it before it hit the ground. Why would they do that? Because there could be no blemish in that lamb. And they would take that little lamb and they would swaddle that thing up and they would wrap it up in claws, Brother Chris, and they would cuddle it and nurture it and take care of it, even so much, Brother Kenny, as to bring in that thing in with the family. That thing could live right there among those that would eventually offer that thing up. You say, what's all that about? Because when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, where was his son born? He was born in a stable, and he was laid in a feeding trough of animals. And what took place then? They wrapped him in swaddling claws and laid him in that manger. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they were taking care of the very Lamb of God. So I'm going to take our text today out of the book of John, chapter number 1, and then we'll read just about three verses there. But we're going to be all through the scriptures today with the Lord as my guide. I'll try to keep you awake because I know many of you are here for the Easter sunrise and you're already getting sleepy because I asked you earlier how many of you are sleeping. You raised your hand back in the prayer circle. Anyway, listen, just be with me for just a little while. I want to tell you about this Lamb for just a little while. Brother Larry made reference to the lamb. He preached the early service, and while we were there, he made reference to the lamb. I don't know if y'all were there and heard it, but Brother Scott, he made reference to it three different times. We talk about the Lamb of God, and that's what our Savior is. Do you realize that when you are saved by God's grace, your name is written somewhere? Where is your name written? Where's it at? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, if it is the Lamb's Book of Life, I think we ought to look at that Lamb. We ought to look at who He was, to have a book that was called His, and that He would put people's names in, that were willing to come to Him and confess Him as the crucified one. But don't you dare keep Him on the cross, bless God, and not just keep Him on the cross, don't keep Him in the tomb. Bless God, get Him out of that thing, right, Brother Archie? He's not in a cradle. He's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb, bless God. He went away. I believe last year's message was about Easter, a time of empty promises. And I preached about the emptiness of Christmas. Listen, when you hear about something being having an empty promise, you think, man, that's helpless. That's hopeless. No, bless God, that's what sealed our redemption. That's what helped us. He defeated death, hell, and the grave because the tomb's empty. He give us life abundantly. He give us life eternally. And bless God, I'm glad I don't have to wait till I get over there to get it. I'm already living my best life now. Joel Osteen can write books about it and sell millions of copies. You said your best life now. Bless God, when you get saved by God's grace, you start living your best life now. But even then, Brother Kenny, as good as life is, bless God, there's a better day to come. Brother Tim, apart from the sin, apart from suffering, sorrow, sickness, heartache, bless God, that's where we're going. Why would we not think that this is a good life? Let's go ahead and stand, give reverence to the reading of God's word. Y'all pray for my voice today. Like I said, I've had this sinus mess going around, and I'm not contagious. My wife's not contagious. If y'all want to come up and hug her neck, that's fine. If you want to come up and whatever you need to do, do it. Don't worry about getting anything. I don't have it unless I'm the common carrier that's given 23 of y'all in here the flu. I don't know about it. I lived with her for 13 days, and she had the flu, and I didn't get it. But anyway, somebody's got it, and somebody's been sharing the joy. Kenny had it, Shirley had it, and Vicky had it, and Grant and Karen's got it, and Miss Sterling's got it, and this one's had it, and that one's had it. Are y'all all coming to the altar, or where are y'all going? I thought maybe Amanda was getting ready to get saved. The book of John, chapter number 1. As you know, the Lord, you don't see a lot of His earthly ministry from the time you read about His birth. You don't see a lot up to the age of 12. At the age of 12, where you find Him? He's there in the temple. He's among all the knowledgeable people, answering their hard questions and just showing really early on who He really is. And then you don't see Him again until about the age of 30. And here He is stepping out on the scene. John, as you know, John the Baptist is baptizing in the River Jordan. And this is the basic start of the earthly ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the separation of the Spirit was there. God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. But that Spirit of God comes down right here and rests upon Him. And for 3.5 years, Brother Kenny, it was miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And you see that Spirit reside with our dear Savior until He was on the cross, Brother Tim, when He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Spirit goes back to the Father. The body goes to the dust or to the cave, the tomb. And then, bless God, you won't see that Spirit again until He comes back on the day of Pentecost as a mighty rushing wind. And bless God, He resides with us even now. The Holy Spirit of conviction to the lost, a chastisement to us that walk wayward, comfort to those that mourn. Bless God, He's still here today. And I'm glad that we live in a dispensation in the age of grace where you too can be saved by grace through faith if you so choose. It's all about the cross. It's about this Lamb. The Bible said that John was baptizing there in the Jordan. It said these things were done in verse number 28 in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should make manifest to Israel, that but therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record, you need to hear this, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Brother Tim, ask God to bless us, my friend, to bless the scripture reading. quick. It's going to have a longer introduction than I will a message today. But this is as God would give it unto me, and I'll give it so unto you. But folks, this was no ordinary lamb, okay? This was no ordinary man. It was no ordinary birth. It was no ordinary death. Everything about Christ was not ordinary. And you say, well, what is ordinary? Ordinary is that a man and woman would come together, and after an act of consummation, they would bear a child, and that child would come into the world, and it would be all everything that you were and I were. It would be bound by the same rights and regulations and rules. It would have the same law to govern. But Brother Kenny, that child would be a sinner. There'd no two ways about it. He'd get into that he shouldn't do, and he wouldn't do that he should do. But bless God, when I say ordinary, that would be an ordinary birth and an ordinary childhood and an ordinary life that a man would grow up, and he would do wrong all the day of his life. But bless God, he was no ordinary child. He was conceived of the Virgin Mary, and as he was conceived of the Virgin, as the Holy Ghost moved upon her, that makes his birth something other than ordinary. That means that he had an extraordinary birth. So then you say, what about his life? Bless God, he didn't do the guile and the things that we do. He didn't do the baser things of life. Brother Kenny, I don't believe he ever said a bad word, thought a bad thought. Everything about him was perfect. Why? Because although he was all God man, he was all God. He was all flesh, but he was still God. And when John saw him baptizing, as he was baptizing there, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now John would have been alive at that time. Why? Because he was just a little bit older than Jesus. You say, well, how so? Well, go back to the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and you'll find out that whenever Mary and Elizabeth come together, the Bible said that John leapt in the womb at the very presence of Jesus. So he would have been around. He would have grown up with John. He would have seen Jesus would have saw John, and John would have saw him in turn. He'd know if he was behind the bar and smoking cigarettes. He'd know if he was doing anything he shouldn't have done. But John said, behold the Lamb of God. You say, well, how in the world could he recognize him there? Because he recognized him before they were born. He recognized him in the womb. And bless God, from the womb to the tomb, John recognized that Jesus Christ was the Savior. Bless God, he was the cradled lamb at Bethlehem. You say, what do you mean the cradled lamb? He was the one that God had prophesied in the book of Isaiah whenever he said that, behold the woman, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. For his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That was him that they were talking about way back in Isaiah in the early chapter 7 through 14. He's the one that Brother Larry preached about in Isaiah 53 this morning. So he wasn't just a cradled He wasn't just the cradled lamb of Bethlehem, but bless God, he was the crucified lamb of Calvary's cross. And we see him there. When we go there just a little bit from now, you'll see him hanging there, the Bible said, and sitting down, they watched him there. Brother Larry, those that would take him to that old Roman whipping post, those that would take him and lay him down and put his life there before all and drive those spikes through his nails and his feet, Brother Kenny, they sit down then and they watched this. The very man that had come to redeem the world, they sit down and just watched him there. But he was the cradled lamb of Bethlehem, and bless God, he was the crucified lamb of Calvary. Y'all pray for him. It's going to be one of them days. My wife said, I hate it when you get sick, honey. I said, I'm not sick. She said, yeah, but I hate when you get that. Where's landscaping at? Where's my landscapers at? Robbie, you may have to pick up the mowing for the next little bit. Robbie used to mow my yard before he hired Chris, and I don't know what happened. Sorry, Chris. What's that? This is aggravating, ain't it, preacher? And you say, that's Satan. Satan ain't got no power over me. God's got power. So anyway, let's take notice, or let's look. The Bible said that John said, behold, and to behold something, if you're beholding a newborn baby, brother, you're just basically sitting there in awe and admiration of that little child. Well, John said, behold, or take notice here, look at this lamb. Whenever he said, behold, the Lamb of God. I want you to see this lamb in Genesis chapter number 22. I won't flip you back there, but if you'll go there, there was a question going between Abraham and Isaac, and they had made the journey to the place of the sacrifice. The Bible said that the Lord had told Abraham, go to a mountain that I'll show thee of, or a place I will show thee of, and I want you to do something while you're there. He said, I want you to take thy son, thine only son. And you'll notice he did not take Ishmael. He took the son of promise. He took Isaac. And as he went there, Brother Kenny, he had everything. It seemed like he had it all. He had the fire. Brother, he had the wood laid upon the little oxen or the ass colt that he was carrying. He had it all. And a 17-year-old son by the name of Isaac tagged along beside of him as they went up that mountain. And about the third day, the Lord showed him where they were going to go. It was a place called Moriah, and he would go there. And Isaac, taking notice of all of this, he asked the question. He said, Father, I see the wood. He said, I see everything. Everything's put in order. And if I were to flip back there, I'll quickly grab that verse in Genesis chapter number 22. The question is asked of young Isaac. He said, Isaac said unto Abraham in verse number 7, he said, my father, and he said, here my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. That's what I'm trying to preach about today. This lamb of God, he was Golgotha's lamb. He was Gethsemane's lamb. Bless God, he was Genesis' lamb. He's all through this book. And bless God, in Matthew, he's Gethsemane's lamb. In John chapter 1, he's Golgotha, 23, he's Golgotha's lamb. In Revelation chapter number 4, he becomes the lamb of all glory. When you'll see him there, as somebody was singing behind me in the choir up here, worthy is the lamb. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. So all through the scripture, we're going to talk about this lamb. So what was the purpose of this lamb? Why would God send a lamb? Because it's always required a blood sacrifice. We sing about this blood. We sing about his cross. All of this is pointing to one thing. It's pointing to this lamb that I'm trying my best to preach about this morning. Bless God, that was no ordinary lamb. Do you realize that he was a substitutionary lamb on the cross of Christ? You say, well, how was he substitutionary? Where's my teachers at? Miss Angie, if Miss Mara was here. They're both teachers, and Miss Jenny was here. She's a teacher, Miss Jessica. Honey, if you get a substitute, what are you going to be? What's that mean? It means somebody going to take your place. So whenever I say that he was a substitutionary lamb, Brother Chris, that means that we had somebody, Brother Jody, that died the death that we deserved, and he was our substitutionary lamb whenever he bled and suffered and died on that cross. But Brother John, he was not just a substitutionary death. He was not just a substitutionary man. He was not just a substitutionary lamb, but bless God, he was a sacrificial lamb. You said, what does sacrificial mean? That means he's given himself for you. When you sacrifice something, you're giving up something that somebody else might be benefited. Brother Larry, I'm glad he was my substitution. I'm glad that he died the death that I deserved. Bless God, he didn't deserve it, but he did. He wasn't just super sacrificial. He wasn't just substitutionary. But bless God, he was the one that was spotless. I opened up with this message talking about how that they would scoop that little lamb up and they would wrap him up, and that they would take him in. Bless God, he got the good food. He got nurtured, and he got shown love. And I want you to know something, Brother Tim. They loved that lamb. He wasn't the one, Brother Kenny, with the bad spot on it. It wasn't the one with a gimpy hind leg. It wasn't the one with a blemish. It wasn't the one, Miss Patty, that had any kind of infirmity. That was the best that they had to offer. And that little thing would be then be offered as a burnt offering, brother, for the sins of that family. And that little thing would be slain. Don't you realize, Brother Kenny, that broke their heart? Don't you think they loved that little lamb, taking it right in and loving on it and sheltering it and feeding it and nurturing it? Then all of a sudden, bless God, he was offered up to the high priest and given to the priest. And the priest would slay that little thing, and its blood would be used to atone for sins. You say, what a cruel way to be, to love on something so much and then just offer it up. Ain't that what God did? Miss Becky, isn't that what God did? Whenever he gave us his darling son, Brother Paul, he loved him. Bless God, there was a love between the father and the son. And bless God, that son loved us so much. The Bible said there's no greater love than this, that that man will lay down his life. So yes, it was sacrificial. It was substitutionary. It was spotless, sinless. Bless God, he was a sovereign God. He was a sovereign lamb. You said sovereign. What's sovereign mean? It means of one power. Bless God, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit culminated into one little bitty lamb and taken to a cross at Calvary. Keep praying. We'll get through this thing. My friends, he was heaven's lamb. You say, well, you mean he was in heaven? Sure, he was in heaven. He was in heaven from the start. You said you had to show me that in the Bible. Get with me after the service and I'll show you. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the only begotten of the dead. It's Him. So when we look at this, He was heaven's Lamb. He was a holy Lamb. Oh, He was a little humble Lamb. He was a very honorable Lamb. He was a faithful Lamb. He was a forgiving Lamb. Oh, He was a free Lamb. He could have done anything He wanted to do. Brother Chris, He could have went. He could have called 12 legions of angels and got Himself off that cross. He was free to do what He chose to do. But He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He was the Father's Lamb. He was the promised Lamb, the one that was foreordained before the foundation of the world was. He was a perfect Lamb. He was a pre-existing Lamb. He was a powerful Lamb. He was a personal Lamb. He was a precious Lamb. He was all these things and more. He was the Lamb that fulfilled all prophecy. He was the Lamb that fed the poor. Yes. You said, show me that in Scripture. Just read along. That's 4,000 or 5,000 sitting around in grassy places, sitting there eating with basket after basket after basket of fragments to take over. He was the Lamb that fulfilled the prophecy, that fed the poor, that freed the prisoners, that forgave my past, that fills your pain. He was the Lamb of God. Like I said, the open is more than the message, but we'll get there in just a few minutes. I got to thinking, brother, we sing that song. Them little kids used to sing that song. Mary had a little lamb. You say that's a secular song. That thing was written with biblical intent to get the gospel into places the gospel couldn't go. Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. He was Mary's lamb. He was Moses' lamb. He was Matthew's lamb and Mark's lamb. This Mark's lamb. He was your lamb. He was my lamb. He was God's lamb. You say, where are you going with all this, preacher? Just hang on. We're getting there in just a minute. He was the lamb that defeated all sin. He was the lamb that defeated all sorrow. All separation was swallowed up in Him. And greater than anything I know, He was the lamb that defeated Satan. You said Satan ain't defeated yet. Yeah, he's defeated. He just ain't got what's coming to him just yet. But he's got it coming to him. So preacher, what are you going to preach about? I'm at the message now. Just give us about, I don't know, just a couple more minutes. I want you to go with me over to the book of the Revelation. Chapter number 12, just for a minute. I want to show you something about this lamb. And I want you to see the influence of this lamb on humanity. You say, is it there? What year are we living in? Well, that was a tough one. Whoosh. What year are we living in? If it's given from the Gregorian calendar in the way that it should be given, when are we living in?
The year of our Lord, 2019.
That's how we mark time. Is that not how we mark time? Are we all not under the same calendar? Were you not born, Brother Tim, in the year of 1958? I'm glad you didn't make me guess that. I was born in 1967, in the year of our Lord, 1967. Do you realize that we began time and we focused time around the very fact that this lamb that came, brother, and I want you to look at the influence of this lamb on humanity. You said, so he just impacted us with a calendar. Bless God, he impacted the great and the small. He impacted the rich and the poor. He impacted the sick and the healthy. He impacted me. He impacted you. He impacted those, brother, that were so poor they didn't have two nickels to rub together. He impacted the rich. You said, how did he do all that? Because he was the God-man. He was the very Lamb of God. Kings were threatened by him. Why? Because this is the one that the Jews had said would come and it would be prophesied. And then when he did come, Brother Archie, they didn't accept him. They refused him. Why? Because he didn't come riding in on some noble stallion carried upon shoulders of great men on gold poles or something. Bless God, they looked for a they didn't didn't look for a religious ruler. They looked for an earthly ruler that would come. Bless God, but here he come from Bethany, riding down into Jerusalem onto a little ass colt that never a man had ridden on. Here comes their king. But kings great were threatened by him. Even the small could be raised up, and even the great could be brought down. That's my God, Brother Amen. Kenny. Yes. Behold the Lamb.
Yes.
You've been affected by him, whether you know it or not. The good, the bad, the wise, the foolish, the bond, the free, the guilty, the guiltless, the rich, the poor, the proud, the humble, the weak, and the strong. Everybody has been impacted by this man. Do you realize there's people here today, by your own admission, you were a drunkard? If I had some certain people here today, their testimony told that they were a drunkard. One of my favorite men that come to this church, and he can't come right now because of sickness, was Brother Woody Dow. Bless God, Brother Woody said God took the drink out of his hand. Bless God, changed his fountain and let him start drinking from a different fountain. But bless God, Brother Woody's not ashamed of his testimony. He's okay with that, to know that God still delivered the drunkard. He'll still deliver the drug addict. He'll still deliver those. Brother John, you can't tell me that God, through that lamb, did not impact humanity.
Amen.
You don't hear much preaching against that anymore. The days of prohibition, the days of Billy Sunday crying out against alcohol and the ill effects thereof. It's not very popular preaching in the latter day that we live in. But that lamb will make a change. You go home and you ask Brother Woody Dow if that lamb won't make a change in a life. It'll make a change in a family. Brother Kenny off in the army come back, and probably the last one out of that whole gaggle of Andersons to get saved. They started getting saved. Here's Kenny, and here's Calvin, and over here's old Tim, and over there's Russell, and back here's Clayton, and old Kenny comes back walking right back into a mixed multitude of people, and all of a sudden while he's gone off in the army, living in the back of a VW bus, and a little old camper out in the middle of nowhere, he comes home, and brother, everybody's saved by him. And all of a sudden, God started working on his heart. Bless God, don't tell me that the lamb won't change humanity, because it'll change a family. It'll change me. It'll change you. It'll change this church. He touched the drunkards. He touched the dopers. The depressed can be raised up. The discouraged. And how about this last one that I'll hit on that one? Brother Kenny, he'll even touch the dead. You said, wait a minute, all these people behind me, well, they will be touched. They've already been touched. You said, you're talking about the widow's son at Nain that would come by. Are you talking about the centurion's daughter, the man's daughter, Talitha Kumai? Are you talking about this one? I'm talking about me and you, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Yeah, he who hath quickened. He made us alive to sit together in heavenly places down here. Brother Danny, we were dead men walking. You can't tell me that he can't change humanity. This lamb make a difference. This lamb has influenced humanity in ways that we'll never know. He's touched millions. Brother Chris, he's taught and blessed and influenced mighty men. He's took little people that had no education. You've seen some that couldn't have a third grade reader and understand anything in it, but yet they get up there and preach the word of God with great power and boldness upon them. Don't tell me God can't impact people. There's been invitations in the Bible. I said, I'm going to be quick. I wanted you to see the influence of humanity. Is anybody here that can't say that the lamb's touched them? Brother Greg, has the lamb touched you? Dane, has the lamb touched you? Brother James, the lamb touched you? Sure he did. Just a few months ago, right up here, he touched you. And I've seen a difference in your walk. I've seen a change in you. Brother Kenny, has the lamb influenced you any? I'm telling you what, a preacher of the gospel for all these years. Brother Archie, has the lamb changed you any?
Thank God.
Thank God, yes, thank God. But I don't want to just tell you about the influence of the lamb. I want to give you this one in closing. You say, well, great, we're already there. That's how quick we can close out a service. But I want you to see the invitation of the lamb. Oh, he that thirst, come to the waters. Ye that hath no money, come. And buy freely. I took you to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. Verse number 10 said, and I heard of verse 12 and 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. What is that? It's speaking of salvation, which speaks of the invitation of the Lamb. The invitation still goes out today. He's saying, come. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now. Come when? Come now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He says, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By what? The blood of the Lamb. There's that Lamb again. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, behold, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I told you that Satan is defeated. But while he's yet still free to do that, he's still coming to you with temptation and torments. Temptation is not sin. But when you yield to that, you say, well, how do I avoid it? Let's God get God inside of you. Because then greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And you can't overcome that temptation. Because the Bible said with the temptation, he sends you another something. He sends you an escape. An escape clause to get out of it. Chapter 13 of the book of the Revelation, while I'm right there with it. Verse number 8 said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then it gives you that other warning sign again. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So I'm going to culminate in this today. Do you know Mary's little lamb? Do you know Moses' lamb or Martha's lamb or Mark's lamb? When you look at this cross and it says, for he is not here, for he is risen, do you realize what took place on that cross? I hit it earlier, the sacrificial giving of a man, the substitutionary death of a man. It took place on that cross. Can you imagine how selfless that he was, Brother Kenny? He didn't deserve that. But there he hung. Tim, he didn't deserve that. Gary Badgett's sin put him on that cross. And my sin. And that of Anthony. And Miss Mary, I hate to say it, honey, but you had sin that put him on that cross. And Heather sitting beside you, baby, you had sin that put him on that cross. Brother Chad, you put him there. But see, I could go through here and name all 258 of us or whatever we had today. You had a hand in that. But the selfless actions of one holy lamb on that cross on that day culminated in the events that we're celebrating here today. You say, what happened on that cross? Well, as we well know, there were seven sayings from that cross. And each one of them had a profound impact on humanity. They influenced humanity. You said, what were all the seven sayings? I'm not going to go to all of them, but I'm going to give you the last few. He said, it is finished. Amanda, honey, he didn't say, I am finished. If he said, I am finished, that would be the end of this lamb. That would be the end of this man. That would be the end of the story. He did not say, I am finished. One of them was this, it is finished. What is it? You said, are you talking about parts of speech? No, I'm talking about what it represented. The plan of God's salvation. The culmination of events foretold from old. All prophecy of old. It was rolled up and it culminated on that hill, on that day, on that cross. And when he said, it is finished, brother, the Father's plan was fulfilled and completed. Man could be bought back to God through the purchase of the blood of the Lamb. Brother Chris hit on the other night, not by the blood of goats nor bullocks. It's not by the blood of calves nor heifers, but it was by the blood of one holy Lamb. Another, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We told you the Spirit come down and rested on the day of baptism when he was baptized there. He sent that Spirit back to God the Father only to send him back, brother, on the day of Pentecost that we could have forgiveness and that we would have conviction and be able to be moved and wooed by the Holy Spirit. You can't come if you're not drawn. If you're not drawn, don't try to come. Just come while he's dealing with you. You said, I thought we were closing. We are here very quickly. So I'm asking you this. I'm going to give you mine just very briefly. But I'm going to ask you, has the Lamb influenced you? Preachers, it's easy to see some of the influence of the Lamb in your lives. It really is. Stand up. You don't have to parade around. I'm not going to run you around the church. This man goes into prisons. How many weeks a year? 38, 40, 25? Almost over half the year, this man is behind prison walls. You can go ahead and be sitting down. What would cause a man to leave his beautiful wife, wherever his beautiful wife is? What would cause him to leave you in the comfort of your own home and drive 8, 10, 12 hours only to empty all your pockets of everything you've got, take off your belt, take off all your metal and put it in that little x-ray machine, to go behind walls to a bunch of people that are condemned, even on death row? I believe it was the influence of the Lamb. Because I can't see you waking up one morning and said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to prison. Can you see me as a 13-year-old boy get saved by God's grace? You said you just wanted to be a preacher. No, I didn't. I told my mom, Robbie, you might remember that. I told mom when I was about 16 that I thought God was wanting me to preach, but it left just like that. It didn't come back till I was in my late 20s and early 30s. Brother, I'm standing up here today before you because of the influence of the Lamb. Brother, you give 36 years of your life to the pastor of a church. I think you were influenced by the Lamb. Everybody in here's got your own testimony. That testimony, Miss Sam, is the influence that the Lamb has had in your life. You said, so what are you getting at? As we stand all over the house today, Brother Scott's got us a song, Miss Macy Comes. I'm just going to quickly ask you, has the Lamb influenced your life? Did the Lamb change anything? If the Lamb didn't change anything, then there is no influence of the Lamb in your life right now. So you need to do the latter thing that I said. You need to accept the invitation of the Lamb. You say, what's the invitation of the Lamb? It's to come and be born again. It's to come and be saved by God's grace. You go, how can I be born again? Nicodemus addressed that same question for you. To make it very easy, you must be born again. Oh, not of the womb, but except that you were going to call it the womb of grace. Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can a man when he's old re-enter his mother's womb? All that's John chapter 3. Read it for yourselves. But if you're not influenced, Brother Scott, by the Lamb, then you need to accept the invitation of the Lamb. Melissa, have you been influenced by the Lamb, honey? Nathan, have you been influenced? Brother Robert, you've been influenced? Mary Doris, hallelujah. Have you been influenced by the Lamb? Something as big as God comes in your life, my friends. He's going to show up somewhere, Brother Dean. He's going to stick out somewhere. And you know what that is? That's the evidence of your salvation experience. That shows that, hey, that Lamb of God's influenced me. Brother Scott, has he influenced you any? You're the choir leader here. You're a deacon here. I believe he's influenced you in a little bit. Brother Danny, have you seen the influence of the Almighty in your life? I think so. Not just that you see it, but others see it. Brother Scott, what have you got? 177. Number 177. Thank you for praying. We got through it without coughing too much more. But listen, don't let baby zipper bags and cell phones and everything else distract you just for 3 minutes. Give me 3 minutes, please.